How many of you know God is up to something? Now, whenever you say something like that, you always have to be careful because some folks can applaud and clap because they're thinking, well, I think God's up to something in somebody else's life. But here's the good news of the gospel. God is up to something good in your life. In your life, He's leading us and He's guiding us. Listen to the words of John. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about that you are going to hear a lot of things. And you know, whether it's on TV, on the radio, you are going to hear a lot of things. And those things will not be intended for your good, so we have to have discernment in what we hear. And we measure everything we hear by the Word of God. Because if He didn't say it, it wasn't said. And if somebody else calls himself a preacher or a televangelist or whatever they may call them, an author, just because they said it doesn't mean that God has said it. And Jesus is letting them know, your whole lives, there are going to be people who have climbed into the pen. They've snuck in. And what he's saying is, they don't belong to me. And that means that they don't speak for me. And I think more than ever in this moment of time that we're living in, we desperately need to hear a word from God. Because it can be discouraging. And it can seem hopeless. And you can feel like things are never going to change. I've told you the story before about my wife, and you know, one of her favorite songs is that Casting Crown song, The Voice of Truth. You know, that's what I want to hear. The voice of truth, who, when speaking those things to me, they encourage me. They affirm what God is saying into my life, what God's intentions are. And Jesus said, if they come in by some other way, they are a thief and a robber. Now, if they're a thief and a robber, obviously Jesus didn't say they're trying to steal the sheep. Because I've got good news for you tonight. You can't steal the sheep. Because who are the sheep? I remember telling my 11th grade or 12th grade government teacher, who was kind of anti a lot of things, and especially spiritual things. And we were talking about some student that had done something, and I said, well, you know what the Bible says? We all like sheep have gone astray. Yes, I was the Bible quoting senior in high school. I wasn't Bible quoting before my senior year in high school. And I said, the Bible says we all like sheep have gone astray. Because don't compare me to some stupid sheep. Sheep are dumb. Everybody knows that. And I was thinking, well, doesn't everybody know that we're dumb? But you can't steal the sheep, because the sheep belong to God, to Jesus. You've been bought with a price. So your life isn't your own anymore. It's His. And because of what Jesus has done, nobody can steal the sheep. So what is Jesus talking about? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We're going to read that in a moment. But when the thief or the robber comes and they're going to steal, what is it that they're stealing? Now, I really want you to hear this. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you belong to God. You belong to God. So all the thief can do is steal things from you. But the thief can't steal you. But the thief can steal things from you, and your life is going to be filled with the pursuit of the thief who wants to steal things from your life. The thief wants to steal the hope that you have. Some of you have a situation in your life right now, and you need some hope. And God offers that hope, but the thief wants to steal that hope. Some of you have been struggling with something, maybe for a long time, maybe your whole life. You've been struggling with it. And maybe you begin to get to a point in your walk where you feel like that thing's going to be overcome in your life. But the thief wants to come and steal the hope that things can change. Man, some of you have been praying for somebody. Somebody that you love. Somebody that you care about. And maybe it seems like they get just real close. And the thief wants to come in and steal the hope that you have that God can change their life. Now, don't point to people. Several of you are pointing going, But that's what the thief does. And the thief wants to rob us of those things that are in our lives. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. And listen to what the Bible says. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his sheep. Everybody hearing this? Now, this is a word tonight. This is a word. This is an encouragement to you and to me, because there is a shepherd. Come on now. There is a shepherd who is leading us. There is a shepherd. And you may feel lost, you may feel wondering, but there is, according to the Bible, there is a shepherd. And what does the shepherd do? The shepherd cares for the sheep. Now, I think I've certainly had those moments in my life when I've wondered, does anybody care? Can we ever feel that way? Just lift your hand. Let's see if we're all in this together. Okay, good. And the ones that didn't raise their hand, they're not raising their hands because they feel like nobody cares, right? But the Bible says the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus is sharing this with the disciples. He's like, I want you to know. And Jesus is making a bold statement here. Jesus is saying there is a shepherd. And then Jesus says, I am the shepherd. I am the shepherd. And I will lead you. And I will care for you. And you got to trust me, because you don't know where the water is, but I've been to the water. And I will take you there. Where is that place? I will take you to what you need. Now listen to this, because somebody might say, but Jesus is all I need. But this is a journey. And Jesus has taken us to all the places that he wants us to go. And in those places, he is going to reveal the most miraculous things about himself to us. Things that will help to birth hope, right? Things that will help to birth encouragement. Because you should be encouraged no matter where you are. No matter what's going on, you should be encouraged. Because if you are a follower of Jesus, you have a shepherd who's going to show you the way. He will show you the way. You remember, what group was it? Styx? Come on, Chris. You know. Was it Styx that sang the song, Show Me the Way? Show me the way. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about? You know the song? Thank you, Will. Would you like to sing it? Okay, all right. And the shepherd is going to show you the way. Because I don't know how many times in my walk I've said, I'm not sure where I'm going. And if you don't know where you're going, then I can ask you this question. Who are you following? And that's going to determine where you're going. And if you're following the thief, you're following the robber, you're not going to get to where God wants you to go. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Jesus is saying, I am your shepherd and I will lead you. Now, I was thinking about this message and thinking about how easy for it is for me to say to you, so just follow Jesus. And don't you feel like, I mean, that's an easy thing to say, follow the shepherd. Because some people are asking the question. But sometimes I don't feel like I can hear the shepherd. Sometimes I don't feel like I can hear his voice. Well, even the disciples, Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. And so Jesus says again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Now, I want you to have this Old Testament picture of shepherds. All right? Shepherds weren't highly respected. You know, they were kind of on the bottom of the social food chain. And I believe if you saw the movie Blazing Saddles, not endorsing it if you haven't seen it. But the cowboys walk into the bar and one of them says, I smell sheep. And there were the shepherds trying to look inconspicuous. Wow. Wonder who smells like sheep. Jesus trying to explain to them. Because here's what the shepherds would do. Sometimes the shepherds would actually sleep over the threshold of where the sheep go into the gate. Go into the pen through the gate. The shepherd would sleep there. So Jesus goes from being a shepherd. He said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. I'm the gate. He's saying, I'm the shepherd and I'll lead you to the gate. He's saying, I'm the shepherd and I will lead you to me. And there's Jesus and he's at the gate. And Jesus says, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers. All those who came before Jesus saying, you know, you got to go this way. You got to do this thing. You got to believe these things. Jesus said they were thieves and robbers. But listen to what he says. The sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. Will be saved. The most hopeful thing for you tonight is, one, that you are saved. That you're saved. I mean, what phraseology that we are saved. And that means there was peril before us. There was danger before us. But we were saved. Now, I think of all the things to get excited about tonight, that was it. That if you're a follower of Jesus, you are saved. And I want you to think about what that means, because I'm afraid if you're like me, sometimes when I see the cross, I don't think about what it really means. And there's a whole lot of people in our culture, and they don't care what it means. They've got crosses all over them. Have you ever stopped somebody? I stopped a guy one time, said, man, tell me about your tattoo, that big cross tattoo. I was like, what is that? He goes, I don't know. I just thought it was cool. But he doesn't realize what happened, what occurred on that cross. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you and I have been saved. Like the sheep who could have been devoured by the wolf, the sheep were saved. And it was the shepherd that saved them. And if you're a follower of Jesus, then you're saved. Here's the second thing that's incredibly hopeful. If you are here tonight, and you know that you're not a follower of Jesus, you've never invited Christ to come into your life, you've never asked him to forgive you of your sin, here's the great news of the gospel for you. You could be saved. You could be saved. And it's funny, because when you have a church like Hillview, and I don't know if you know this, but this isn't like a normal church. And there's all kinds of weird people that come to our church. Some of them are on staff, like Keith, you know. And I was praying with a team of guys that were headed to Florida to play softball in some prisons. And we have a prison softball ministry. And those guys went and saw over 100 conversions in 3 days. Isn't that incredible? And one of the guys, before they left, said, Pastor Jamie, I thought of you the other day. I was in Miami, Florida, and I got you something. I said, oh, wow. And he pulls out a Cuban cigar. And never at any of my other churches was I given a cigar as a gift. Now, people brought them and laid them at the altar and said, I'm not doing it anymore, you know. And we took them. No. It's a joke. It's a joke. But, you know, this isn't a normal place. And so I meet all kinds of people that come here. And so many people are come here and they are looking for hope. And they are wondering, because some of them will even tell you, I'm a total stranger to them, and they'll even tell me what all has gone in their life. And I always start off saying, hey, man, it's okay. You know, it's okay. And they keep going. And I'm like, man, you need Jesus. Like I needed Jesus. And like you, all you that are laughing, needed Jesus. When people come here, they're looking for hope. They're looking for the way. Because in your life, you get tired of looking for a way, don't you? How many of you have tried a few ways? Anybody want to come up and testify? How about here on the front row? Anybody? No. Everybody's like, I'm okay. I'm forgiven now. But Jesus, he offers that hope. He's the shepherd, and he is leading us, and he cares for us. And I know so many people, I've encouraged them, man, go to that altar and, you know, and just confess your sin to God. You don't have to confess it to me. And some people have told me, I don't want him to know. And then I dropped the bomb. He knows. He was there. He's like, where was he? He knows. And you know what? He knows every dirty, rotten thing you wicked people have done. Myself included in that. And yet, there's a cross. There's a cross. I mean, imagine if you were Jesus. I mean, I'd be willing to die for some good people. Any of you here? Any good people? But did he die for me? Oh, if I showed the videotape of my life, you'd never come back here. You'd find somebody else to listen to. You'd be ashamed of me and for me. But there was still a cross. Jesus didn't change his mind. Why? Because he's the shepherd. He's the shepherd. And he's still leading. And he's still guiding. Now listen to this. He will come in and go out and find pasture. And he says these powerful words in verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I've come so they'll have life and have it to the full. And I'm going to tell you, you want to talk about life. Man, it begins with forgiveness. Have you ever just really wronged somebody and had to apologize to them? Maybe I should ask this. Have you ever wronged somebody and thought about apologizing to them? You been there? Have you done that? You want to just get a glimpse of life? Go apologize. It's incredible. It is so freeing. An abundant life happens because there was a cross and a resurrection. And I have been forgiven. Some of you have been forgiven. Some of you could be forgiven. And that's abundant life. I don't carry the weight of that sin anymore because I am saved. And I don't carry that. But the thief comes. And the thief says to me, maybe I'm in the back and I'm praying. I'm getting ready to come out. And the thief says to me, who do you think you are? To address those people. Who do you think you are that you could go out and say those things? Look at you. Now, I'm a pastor, right? And so some of you are thinking I immediately get out the oil and I'm like. But you know what I do most of the time when that happens? I look at myself. And what the thief is saying is strangely reminiscent of the things that I have felt before. That I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And I've blown it. And the thief will say those things. And I pause. And I'm thinking, the thief is on to something. The thief knows something. Because the thief is saying all the things that I have felt for a long, long time, but now I'm saved. But the thief wants to come and steal and kill and destroy. The thief wants to steal the hope that I have in the shepherd. And the thief wants to kill the dreams. That's God calling right now. Wants to kill the dreams that God has given. And the thief wants to destroy the life that I will attempt to live for the glory of God. Who are you? Has anybody ever heard that from somewhere? Let me see. Let's see. Anybody ever heard that? Who are you? Look at you. I mean, come on. Who are you? And when I just have a great moment, I'll say, oh, I'm the shepherd's. I'm the shepherd's, and I'm following him, and it's all the hope and all the joy that I need is in following the shepherd. I belong to him. Listen, if you got a problem with my life, thief, then you need to go to Jesus, because my life is his. I belong to him. But then you'll hear the voice of truth saying, you are mine. Isn't that powerful? You are mine. And the shepherd is speaking that. And it's truth. You belong to me. Follow me, all the things that I have for you, because I want to remind you, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the thief wants. But Jesus said, you know what I want? Oh, I want you to have life. I want you to have life. And so there are areas in my life that I don't have life. And I hear the shepherd's voice clearly. And I know it's the shepherd's voice saying, you need to go and apologize. And I always ask the shepherd, where can I get a second opinion? Is there something else I can do, shepherd? Is there something else I could do? Could I just send a gift? Because I think I can muster that one. Could I just say something nice about that person to somebody else? And it's like the shepherd says, that's what got you in trouble in the first place. You were talking about them to somebody else. But I know the shepherd's voice. Because the thief never says, you ought to go and apologize. The thief doesn't say that. Because the thief doesn't want us to have life. And those areas of my life that are out of control, I clearly hear the shepherd speak in those areas truth. And it's confirmed all throughout the Word of God on what I need to do and how I need to live. Now, and listen to me. Because so many people have said, I think Christianity, it really just comes down to a bunch of rules. Don't do this. Don't do that. How many of you have heard that? How many of you understand there are some things that you shouldn't be doing? Just Dale in the back. Okay. Dale, you're the only one that's on to something. But here's the deal. You know why the Bible sometimes says don't do that and don't do this and don't treat people that way? You know why? Because Jesus said, I've come so that you may have life. And if you want to have life, do what I say. So you got somebody in your life. Do you have a difficult person in your life? Anyone? Don't point. Okay? We all have difficult people in our lives. And you know what that is? Now hear me clearly. It's the thief. I didn't say that person is the thief. But it's the thief. The thief wants to use that relationship, whatever, to rob you of the abundant life that God wants you to have. Are you hearing me? That's what the thief wants to do. I know I've told you before, you know, because the simplest things upset us and hurt us, don't they? I mean, we are sensitive people, right? I remember I was telling a group of people at a different church I was at, I said, oh, you guys, I'm just old and fat. And one of the women said, oh, you're not old. Well, you know, I could have been really hurt. Could have told a few people. So-and-so said I was fat. You know, because God's never told me that. You know, one of those uncontrolled areas in my life, you know. But the thief wants to rob us of the joy, the abundant life that God wants us to have. And that's why God says, so go. Go apologize. Go make that relationship right. You know why? Because it's important. Some people say, it's not important anymore. I'm over that. I've just moved on. No, you haven't. That's a lie. That's what the thief says. Well, there's been enough time passed. I think everybody's over it, so you can just move on. That's the thief talking. But the shepherd says, you need to go to them. And that's hard. Have you ever done that? You ever done that? I mean, to go to somebody and to apologize. I mean, how many of you have ever apologized when you felt like you really didn't have anything to apologize for, but you felt like you needed to go? And what do we always learn when we go and apologize when we think we don't have anything to apologize for? What do we learn? We had plenty to apologize for. Because Jesus said, I want you to have life. Man, some of you are struggling with some things in your life right now where you're hearing the shepherd say, don't do that. Don't do that. Stop doing that. And so and people ask questions, well, why? I mean, what's the big deal? Because he wants you to have life. He wants you to hear his voice. He wants you to trust him. And so when I don't go and do what the shepherd has said, guess who I'm now trusting? Me. When I hear the shepherd speak and I don't go, I'm trusting me. Now, shepherd, hang on a second. I think I've got another plan that's going to work out the same that you want anyway. Now, I'll tell you what, Jesus. All right, I'm going to put your plan on the back burner because I've got something else cooking and I think it's going to lead to the same thing. And you know what happens when I do that? Now there's like five more people I have to go to who all got sick from my cooking. Amen? And that happens. And whenever I don't do what the shepherd says, I always make a bigger mess than what was already there. And it makes it even more difficult. But I have good news. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are saved. You're saved. You are saved. And that means abundant life is possible because of the shepherd. But we have to hear his voice and listen to what he says and then obey. I love Jackson and Caroline gave us such a beautiful picture tonight of following Jesus, didn't they? Wasn't that awesome? Following Jesus wherever he leads. I mean, it is powerful. And I want to encourage you, because I come with a few things on a few different tables. And I have those moments when I have listened to the shepherd's voice, and I have gone and done what I needed to do, or I have gone and stopped doing what I needed to do. And you know what the result of that was? Life. Life. But I've got this other table where I'm still considering my options. Although the shepherd is clearly spoken, I'm just kind of hanging out just to see maybe if it'll work out another way. Or a lot of times, here's what I'm really waiting on. Well, Jesus, as soon as that person comes to me, crawling, I will apologize. And I just find over and over again, the shepherd doesn't send them to me. Because the shepherd has told me to go and to be obedient to him. Because this is life. This is what life. Pastor Keith and I had lunch this week with a young man. And you talk about exciting. I mean, it was just incredible. This guy, he's a new believer. And he said he wanted to talk. And he asked me a few questions over the phone. And they were like unbelievable questions. I said, you know, I'd really love for you to talk to Pastor Jeff. Because he's brilliant. And I am a sheep. And so I forget, Jeff had something going on this week. And I don't remember what it was. I think they had a baby or something. But so I grabbed the next smartest person I could think of, which was Pastor Keith. And we go to lunch with this guy, and he's got a notebook. And he's got questions written down. And he starts asking all these questions. And then we come back from lunch, and we go to Keith's office, and he has more questions. And they were all questions that lead to life. I mean, abundant life. And it was so exciting. And Keith and I were talking about, man, now that was fun. You know, I mean, that's how our faith should be. We should have a notebook and have questions and then listen to the shepherd's voice and what it is that Jesus is telling us and then be obedient to that. You know, I'd love to preach a big, complicated message, but I'm just not smart enough to do it. And this is a simple message leading us to probably incredibly difficult things. But we have to hear the shepherd's voice. We have to listen. You know what the Bible said that maybe the most powerful thing in what we just read? The Bible said that he calls his sheep by name. By name. Have you heard him call your name? Have you heard him? Because I've had moments when I just couldn't take it anymore. Have you had those moments? I don't cry a lot. But when I do, well, I cry when I watch The Biggest Loser. I always cry. Extreme Home Makeover, right? I cry when I watch that. Why won't they build me a house? You know, things like that. But I find myself in a corner, somewhere in the house, usually when everybody's asleep or everybody's gone. And sometimes I get in that corner and I just weep. And I just cry. Because I am so desperately looking for a word from God. Because I need hope and I need encouragement. And it's so amazing when you get into moments like that. And you hear the shepherd say, Jamie. Jamie. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I want you to hear him tonight. I want you to hear him. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Follow me. And the whole it's going to be okay is conditional. Follow me. And it's going to be okay. Follow me. And this is going to work out. Follow me. Follow me. I want you to hear his voice tonight. I want you to hear his voice in a powerful way tonight. Speaking your name. Reminding you that you are his. Reminding you that you are saved. Reminding you that, yeah, the enemy's saying, don't you know who you are? And then to hear Jesus tell you who you are. You are saved. All those things the enemy says I am, I got good news. I am not those things anymore. Now I am forgiven. And you are not all those things anymore. Now you are forgiven. You're forgiven. And here's some great news tonight, because some of you are here and you're not saved. Some of you, you've not turned your life over to Jesus. And I want you to know that he'll forgive you and he'll save you. And all those things that maybe you feel like you are, you won't be anymore, because you'll be his. I mean, let me tell you the most powerful thing about Christianity. I will now not be judged by what I was. I will be judged by what I am in Jesus. If you're here tonight, and you guys can come, if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want you to know, I believe that's why God has set this church here, to point people to the cross and the resurrection. Because you've heard me preach tonight, and I know you have certainly found no hope in me. And I don't offer any. The only hope I have is what Jesus has given me. And he offers that hope to you. And he calls you by name. And if you have never invited Jesus to come into your life, I want to encourage you to do that tonight. Matter of fact, if you bow your head and close your eyes, I don't want anybody looking around. I don't do this a whole lot, but with nobody looking, if you're here tonight and you're unsure, you don't know if you have a relationship with Jesus, or you know that you don't, we just lift your hand real quick and just put it right back down. I'm the only one looking. Okay? Anybody else? Okay? Okay. All right, everybody look up. Several hands went up. And I want to encourage you tonight. If you raised your hand, don't leave here unsure of that. You don't have to. You don't have to leave unsure of that. The Bible says that if we call upon the name of the Lord, we would be saved. And he will save you tonight. And he'll forgive you tonight. I remember praying when I was 16, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And I believe that you died on the cross. And I believe that you can forgive my sin. And I invite you to come into my life. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And the Bible says he's faithful and just. And he will do that. And here's how we do it here. In just a moment, we're going to stand. People are going to come to the altar just to pray. And if you know you need a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you prayed that tonight, I want you to come and tell me that. I'll be down here and I want to pray with you. A few things I want to share with you. And I want to encourage everyone else. Hear His voice. Be obedient to His voice. Some of you, what lies before you is daunting because it's going to be hard. But what comes from it is life. So bring that to the altar tonight. Say, God, give me the strength. Give me the courage. Give me the words. Give me the will. I want to invite you to come tonight. Bring those things to the altar. Lord, we love You. You're our hope. You're our shepherd. You're our Savior. We love You. Amen. Let's stand together. The altar is open. You come.